Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here is our assignment or set of assignments from over the weekend. On Friday we had, of all the self-fulfilling prophecies in our culture, the assumption that aging means decline and poor health is probably the deadliest. In practice, we're often reminded that having the life we choose is easy for us, that we know how to do that because that's what we've been doing all along. The expression, how you say it is how it is, makes the same point. The world we live in is the world we see, not because that's how it is, but because that's how we see it. The world is hostile and threatening. The world is kind and generous. Depends on who's looking. Egos will argue endlessly over these types of issues, but the fact remains that we each live in a world of our own making. If you believe you need glasses at 40, if you're certain you're no longer desirable or attractive at 50, if you think you're over the hill at 60, all that will be true for you. Today, as you open to seeing the pernicious nature of ego's opinions and judgments, allow yourself to remember ego's assumptions, beliefs, and predictions are in no way true. Record and listen. Then on Saturday, from the very beginning, all beings are Buddha. We're familiar with the Buddha, the Prince Siddhartha, who became the compassionate one and whose teachings inspire our spiritual practice. But the word Buddha does not mean that individual. Buddha points to a quality of consciousness, to a state of perfect spiritual enlightenment, to that which is awake. Most of us start awareness practice out of touch with our divinity, engaged in an uphill battle engaged in an uphill battle to prove wrong the voices calling us everything but divine. But if what Hakuin says is true, all of us are already enlightened. We're just not yet awake. Our task in walking the path is simply a process of realizing our true nature. Today, practice living from your goodness is already established. Realizing that there is nothing wrong, how will you live your day? Record and listen. And on Sunday, a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels. One definition of infidel is someone who does not believe in religion. The root of the word religion is from the Latin religio, meaning reverence. If we put that together, an infidel would be someone who lacks reverence. Could we say that ego is the ultimate infidel, so self-absorbed that it's blind to the miracles around it? To ego, mouse is simply a label for an annoying, potentially threatening pest. A tree is just a static object, and bird song is just sound. But we only have to be present for a moment to anything in life to be awestruck at the beauty, mystery, complexity, and variety in every form of life's expression. Today, practice reverence. Drop ego's self-absorption and take in the miracles that abound around you. Record and listen. All right. Shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan from Florida.
Hello, Susan.
Hey, Ashwini. Hey, Sherry. I'm not sure. I think the experience I want to talk about on Friday and it kind of continued into Sunday has to do with just in general the the lessons we had this last week of expansion and not living in ego. I was Friday night, I went to a store after work because I had to go pick up something. I had to. And my body, you know, there was just like, oh, the traffic's terrible. Why are you doing this? Oh, my God, my back hurts so badly. Why am I doing this? Oh, I've got to carry this around the store. You know. And so then I went into an aisle just to pick up some spaghetti sauce. And I turned around, and it was like all of that was gone. Mm-hmm. It was not, it was sort of like an expansiveness.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I saw for the first time the floor in Target. I mean, I'd looked at it hundreds of times. But I saw for
yes.
the first time the floor.
I know
Target.
What you mean. Yeah.
Okay, and then was seeing all these
kind of a little miracle, isn't it?
Kind of a little miracle, and I
The floor.
I know. And then I walked up to the register, and everybody was playing with me, and I was playing with them that I happened upon, and as I was walking to the register, a thought dropped in of. You know, there was a person standing at the exit asking for help, for money, I assumed. And so it just came to me to do that. So I got in the car and I drove off and I had this intention. And then as I got closer, the light was green. I didn't have my money out. And all this other stuff started happening, and so I didn't do it. And I got onto the road, and I said, no, I need to turn around. And then it was like, no, the traffic's too bad. I can't do that. And so I thought about that some and felt very badly. I really felt very badly about it. And, you know, it didn't really haunt me the weekend, but it did come up several times how badly I felt about it. So on Sunday morning, I was in church singing in the choir, and that's a very, very spiritual experience. And it came to me, go back out there. Go back out to the store and give her the money. And I said, you know, so I said, okay. And then I got home, and somebody called me, and I said, oh, just come on over whenever. I'll be here the whole time. And then it occurred to me, wait a minute, I was going to go do that. So I called her and said, I've got this errand I have to do first, so I'll call you when I get home. I went out there, and you know, it was like, oh, she's not going to be there. Da, 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 da. I drove in there, and darn it if she wasn't there. She was there. It was just this miracle. And part of me was just like, well, of course she's there. I mean, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Big a deal. It just was, okay, and here you go. And I gave, and it was turned out to be a woman, which had made me feel even worse for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I identified with her more.
Go ahead.
Well, I just said, I gave her the money. She was very grateful. I said thank you to her or whatever. Then I drove away, and it wasn't like I was ecstatic or anything, but I was just calm. I
yeah.
was like, oh, man, I wasn't like
well,
that.
Well, Susan, the whole thing that you laid out is just a perfect description of how it works. So you're going along, and what you're listening to are the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right? Oh, you're
right.
Back. Oh, this. Oh, no, you're too tired. Too much traffic. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah,
and then you walk around the corner, and you're here. You're actually present. You're in the Friday thing, you're for that moment, you're awake, right? And you
yeah.
can see the floor. And the floor itself is astounding,
yeah.
right? And then it starts in again, and it catches your attention, right? But then you're present with the people, and everybody's playing, and they're having a good time, and this whole thing. And then it starts in again, right? You get in the car. And it starts in, oh, the traffic, and the light is green, and your money is now, and oh, and you keep coming back to that. I would call it disappointment.
Yeah.
And you would say, you know, you felt bad, but I'm gonna project that it's disappointment. Because
yeah.
it's not disappointment about not giving the woman money. It's disappointment about choosing egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, over your heart. So each one of those junctures, you were being called to presence, whether it's just, whoop, here I am and there's the floor, and there's everything around me, and wow, all my senses are alert, or it just keeps dropping in. Well, you could go back. Well, but okay, what, if you call your friend, have her come, you know, give her a call when you get back. Go ahead, do the errand. And it, when you start down that path of listening to your heart and doing what you're guided to do, as you say, there's a feeling of calm. Sometimes it's calm sliding over into the really happy, excited, grateful, bordering on ecstatic. But a lot of times it's just you're in sync with life. You're actually present to life unfolding, and that's enough.
Yeah. It was great, and ego didn't do much with it. Yeah, I mean, it was just sort of like didn't talk about anything. You know,
right. You just had an ongoing workshop of going back and forth between this is what it feels like to be identified with ego, not that much fun and pretty negative. This is what it feels like to be present to life.
Yeah.
Feels good.
It was a great workshop. And as I walked through Target to the register, it lasted. And it was like, I think for the first time, I felt this expansiveness.
Yes, here you go. And that's the one we're going for. When we drop the conversation, when we turn attention out of conditioned mind and step into our senses and we're actually here, that's the expansiveness that we feel.
Yes.
Something to practice. Make a recording, please. Make several recordings. And especially
yes,
to keep practicing getting in touch with that expansiveness. Just be here. Let all of your senses just kind of slide out there in every direction and be aware of a larger and larger and larger perspective.
Gotcha.
All right. Your
Thank
assignment.
You.
Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye. Bye,
Ashwini. Bye-bye. Thank you, Susan.
It was great. A workshop. First thing Monday morning or Monday afternoon, depending on where you live, or Monday evening.
Yeah. Well, what was dropping in for me throughout that conversation was race.
Yes,
you know,
it's
that place of the Hakuin thing about in the beginning, all beings are Buddha. Because when we're present, that is our experience, right? That there is that compassion, that kindness, that engagement with life that calls to us that the floor is beautiful and this person needs assistance and I'm tuned in enough, present enough that that's what flows out. And there's that grace that assists us to drop the voices now and then and reminds us of what is there to be seen, what is there to be experienced as ourselves.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. It is grace. That's a perfect word for it. Because we can show up for it. It's like, you know, come into the moment with your outstretched hands. We're ready to receive whatever comes our way. We can't make anything happen, but we can be here and ready to say yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That in other words, it sounds like a duality or a separation, but we have to be present to presence.
Yes. Yeah, precisely. That's our part, right? Presence is
that's
always here. Presence
yes.
is. But we have to be present to presence. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Sarah in Iowa.
Sarah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm heading home from the retreat, the Seasons of Joy retreat, and I'm sort of chuckling because one of the things you said was we practically go home with you, and I'm on the last 15 minutes of my journey, so you are literally going home with me.
Yeah, I think I said our practice is so pervasive will come into your home and find you.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Extraordinary time. And I, you know, if there's anybody out there listening that has had a desire to go but has talked themselves out of it, I would just say, you know, just listen to that voice and go, because it's hard to put into words what happens there, but it really does, as the daily recollections say, reunite you with your intrinsic goodness. And I don't know any other place I've ever been that's happened.
It's a magic place, isn't it?
It really is. It's like, you know, this is not a good comparison, but it's like kind of a spiritual equivalent of Disneyland to me. It's
the happiest place on earth.
there's endless amusement, you know, nothing happens, and yet it's the most entertaining, amusing place that you could find. You can go from one experience to the other and see more and more revealed about your life that you can carry with you, you know, that's thrilling, but that changes you and transforms you. And it's just that, you know, to walk back out into the world with that expansive view of love and possibility and opportunity. It's just, you know, I came into O'Hare and it was just, you know, bustling with activity, and I could think that I love all of this, you know. It's incredible. So.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you, because I'm right there with you. I just wish everyone would have the experience, because once we do, it's undeniable that that's our potential, that's what it's like to be present and awake to presence. And once we know that, I think it's true that ego is going to fight even harder to keep you from that experience, but we can't unknow what we know. And so it's a wonderful kind of, it's a different kind of dissatisfaction. I'm never going to be satisfied with what ego promises after I know what's possible for me in presence. I'm just not.
The other thing that happened there. It's the time to go. I just wanted to say one other thing, that while I was
please.
I saw the practice value of shame. Yeah, I know you're not a fan of shame, but I saw something there that made me realize it was actually a perfect inflection point to get back to awareness.
You learned the possibility of using that experience to bring you to awareness.
And I thought it during the working meditation. It just arose in naturally a couple of times. And what I saw in that moment was that it was actually ego shame at being shown up by awareness.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
So, ego goes to shame in the face of awareness, so that you will believe, you're meant to believe that you are that ego, and you should feel ashamed because what has been revealed. And quite the opposite. You just go, okay, ego, you should feel bad.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy here with awareness.
Exactly, because it was the first time I actually, I think, in practice that I really, really felt, oh, I'm not ego. You know, it's definitely ego shame, and it's not something that because in the circumstance that arose, it had really kind of taken me down this ridiculous path of you know, a debate about should I do this and that, and it had gone on a while, and then it became apparent that awareness had guided me in both instances where it occurred. Awareness had told me what to do. You know, and it had been very clear and calm and just, you know, effortless. And I kind of felt like I just, I don't want, you know, it almost, it's such a distance from ego, because I was like, yeah, you should be ashamed. I mean, you kind of did it was kind of ridiculous what you did, and it didn't, you know, I'm not going to carry it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got bamboozled. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Good to see. Right. And then that I learned something. I saw it. Excellent. Good workshop. Okay. Here we go.
Next.
That's beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Great to hear from you. Glad you're home safely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Sarah. That just put all the three assignments together for me, Sherry, because we when we drop in to here, we operate, we recognize the goodness, right? The goodness is already established, and so shame has to be something other than that. It's not authenticity or awareness. It is conditioned mind, and we can drop that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, boy, that moment of distance from the ego to realize, that's not me. that's that miserable state that's always trying to make me feel bad. Okay, I get it. This thing here, this is awareness.
Yeah. All right, we have another caller here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Anna.
Hi.
Anna. Hey, can you hear me okay?
We can. It's as if you were right with us.
Oh, well, I feel right with you. So that's good. I just got the opportunity to choose the guidance of the heart over egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and press star 6. My finger was hovering for a while and the energy was building and I just went for it.
That's a great image. We see that in lots of places in our life when we when we catch on to it, right? My finger is hovering over star 6. I'm going to unmute. I'm going to join in. I'm going to participate, and here I go.
Very
good.
Exactly. Yeah, and I watched Wonder Woman last night, so kind of energized and inspired by that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the Wonder Woman act for this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for that. It was fabulous.
I'm glad you did it. I'm hearing from a lot of people. I don't know. Maybe somebody can let them know I'm a distributor and I can get some sort of cut for my recommendations.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing about the assignments is that the connection between being in reverence for the miracles around us and living in the world that we're creating. And so I've been finding it so helpful to help me have a chance of being here, walking around with the recorder, just as I'm walking around and noticing all the miracles around me, like, oh, look at that leaf and all of that green and that bird and that, and just talking about them. As I go along from place to place. And,
talking out loud with your recorder about the miracles that surround you.
Yeah. I'm holding the recorder and just noticing. It just is a huge support for being here. It's like in this walk from here to here, I'm choosing to be here, and this is what's helping me to do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just and how the experience of that is that then there's just these magical experiences of those little prompts, you know, like, oh, go here. And you know, in an exchange with somebody that might be just supposed to be like, you know, a sort of admin transaction, you get that little prompt to comment on that or ask about that, or they ask you this, and then there's just this lit up, you know, interaction where you actually get to connect with a person. And it's like, you know, there was that amazing conversation on Project Joy last week about keeping the lights on. You know, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has its imaginary hands on the dimmer switch, and we're looking for ways to keep the lights on. And it's like when I'm doing that, doing all the supports for attention to be here, it's like being guided to all of these lights, to all of these places of light.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah, like the Indiana Jones bridge, you know, stepping out and, oh, try this, or go there, or there's a light, or like that. And it becomes like, instead of, because I've also been in an experience recently of, oh, no, the lights are going out, oh, no, and like clinging, right, and panic. And then instead to be in that experience of excitement, if it's like a treasure hunt, right?
Yeah.
Where's the light? Where's, you know, and just feeling so supported. Like,
and I,
look the back.
Yeah, and I project that question, where's the light? Where's the light? The lights are coming up, right?
Yeah.
It's getting lighter and lighter as you're asking that question, because that is the light. So the light is asking the question about the light, and so it's just got to get brighter and brighter and brighter.
Yeah, yeah, and getting it that what's saying, oh, no, the lights are going out, is not the light, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It is actually rooting for the lights to go out, right? That's why
exactly,
it's talking about the lights going out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Like that Friday assignment, right? The ego making the predictions to create the world that we're living. Like that. Oh no, the lights are going out. Is invested in the lights staying out, and so to get that and then turn attention to where is the light? Where is the light?
Where is the light? Yeah, yeah. And what you started out with is a critical piece of it, and a really simple piece of it. Okay, just pick up that recorder and go anywhere looking for miracles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll just feel the light get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Yeah. Because you're here.
Yeah.
You're here where the light is and where the miracles are, and you you can't fail.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks, Anna. Sherry, we have only 2 minutes. Should we attempt to get someone on, or shall we go to our assignment?
I think we should be good people and go to our assignment.
All right. The temptation to just keep talking about
I know.
Grace and miracles, and we're becoming mystical.
I was, yes, I think so. And I was right there. I was thinking, you know, I could just do this all day long. I'd love to just hear what people are, how people are practicing. I got a text this morning. In fact, I'll take a minute or so because I didn't know this, because as I said to the person, you know, I'm not a get up and get in touch with what's going on in the world first thing in the morning kind of a gal. I'm just not. And so I didn't realize there are fires in California. And I got that message and had that, was just in that awareness of starting out the day with a focus on exactly what we're talking about, and then being able to go from this into all of the stuff that's happening in the world that we really want to have the lights up for. And be able to make that contribution to the world, to bring the unconditional love into whatever situation arises, that's what's available for us. And then that feeling of, and then to just stay with that, you know, all day long, to stay with the goodness and the evidence of goodness,
Yeah, I was talking to my mom, who did this trip around the world, and I was talking to her on the day that we had the event in Las Vegas, and she said, you know, that is true.
And I didn't meet a single person in on my trip who wasn't kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're pointing at, right, Sherry, that we don't want to lose the context of the intelligence that animates animating all, that expanded awareness place, as we move in a world where some aspects of that are disturbing or awful or hard. And that if someone said, right, the action reflects the extent to which someone is distant from the divine.
Yes. Yeah. I go to that quote by Dew Kennett, that what people call evil is saddened love. That people can get so sad and so far removed from their hearts that what we talk about as goodness is just not available to them any longer. Not that it's not who they are, they just are not in touch with it any longer. And for us to keep that in the front of our conscious awareness as we move through the world, I think it's a great contribution.
Well, and not to lose touch with it ourselves, because we know how not to do that. And that is how we balance those other, that's what we bring, right? Not more of the lack of being in touch with that, in touch with that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, we managed to fill in that 2 minutes and more.
I know, and go over, so here's our assignment.
What's our assignment? What's our assignment?
The higher the truth, the simpler it is.
Mm.
Have you had this experience? Life drops in a suggestion, a direction, a next step. The information arrives in a single flash of intuition, simple, direct, and complete. And then the voices start. Should I or shouldn't I? What if? How about? Now or later? Would it be right or wrong? Suddenly, what was straightforward is no longer so. What was simple is now complicated. We find ourselves anxious, confused, paralyzed, lost in the convolutions of a conditioned conversation. The verbosity of ego I drowns out the still small voice of life. Today, drop the complexity created by the conditioned conversation and listen for the still small voice. Gordon, listen.
All right. That's a good one.
Thank you,
Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and talk to you tomorrow.
Yes. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.